So it's the feast of St. Joseph, and not just St. Joseph, the solemnity, which is the husband of Mary, and we focus on that beautiful mission and role of himself as himself, the instrument chosen by God. But this particular feast of May 1st, it was a response of the church to a lot of things that were happening in the late 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, socialism, communism versus industrialism and individualism, two extremes of how do you treat the human person in the face of work and productivity. And I think it's still relevant today when you have the struggle of our own value compared to the money we make or the money we don't make, and how much time we frenetically dedicate ourselves to work for the sake of work and lose sight of our dignity in that midst. And the other values that the church would teach us are still much more valuable than work. Work is a means to those things. Now, I will say, I was listening to our reading of Genesis. And the first two commandments of God, be fruitful and multiply. And this is, we hear the squeaks in the church today, Patrick, hello. And others, we are grateful that you're fulfilling that first commandment. But the second one, subdue the earth, have dominion over all of it, and allow it to produce fruit. So the work was the command of God for us to have this task of work. I think it was communism that emphasized or overemphasized or exaggerated that religion, because it causes people to trust in heaven and wait for heaven, the church is teaching us to be passive before the needs of the world. And therefore, Marxism, communism said, religion is the opium of the masses. It's like this drug that leaves us passive in front of the needs of creation, the needs of our neighbor. That's not true. At least that's not true for the Christian faith. From the very beginning, God commanded us to work. Not to get too lost, but the communist and socialist error is to put the whole, the state, the good of everyone, in the sense of the good of the state, really, over the individual. But private industry, capitalism, can have the error, the extreme, of putting the part, meaning the private owner, over the good of all his workers, over the good of the one over the many. So it's the two extremes that we're trying to avoid. St. Joseph, and as we ponder today's gospel, where Jesus himself is considered the son of the carpenter, submitted to the law of work. God came into your reality of work. God didn't come as some king to tell you what to do to order you around. He came assuming unto himself your entire experience as a human person, including the duty to work. And he would lift the wood and hammer the nails and put things in order and make mistakes and fix them on the human level. He didn't sin, but I'm sure that his first chair looked a lot like my first chair, and it wasn't anything to be impressed about. But he worked. God showed us how to work. And he showed us the beauty and the dignity and the privilege and the right to work. And so we learned from him, and the church, especially since the 1800s with her social doctrine responding to extremes, guides us in applying the gospel message, the gospel teachings of Jesus to everyday life. I just want to read a few messages, few numbers of the catechism that deal with this. Interestingly, this falls under the seventh commandment, which is, thou shalt not steal. How about that? The idea that there is private property. There is property. There is property that you're entrusted with. So let me just kind of quickly skim over a few numbers. In the beginning, this is 2402. God entrusted the earth and its resources to the common stewardship of mankind, to take care of them, to master them by labor, subdue the earth and fill it, and enjoy their fruits. The goods of creation are destined for the whole human race, which sounds like communism. No private property. It's for everybody. However, the earth is divided up among men to assure the security of their lives, endangered by poverty and threatened by violence. The appropriation of property, private property, is legitimate, etc., etc., etc. The right to private property acquired and received in a just way does not do away with the original gift of the earth to all of mankind. The universal destination of goods remains primordial. In his use of things, man should regard the external goods he legitimately owns not merely as exclusive to himself, but common to others also, in the sense that those goods can benefit others as well as himself. The ownership of any property makes its holder a steward of providence, you and I. Stewards of God's providence. That's a high dignity. That's a high calling. With the task of making it fruitful and communicating its benefits to others, first to his family, but destined for all. Goods of production, material or immaterial, such as land, factories, practical or artistic skills, your skills, my skills, oblige their possessors to employ them in ways that will benefit the greatest number. And you reserve the better part for yourself. No, you reserve the better part for guests, for the sick, and for the poor. Just one or two more. Human work proceeds directly from persons created in the image of God and called, you and I are called, this is the definition of work, to prolong the work of creation. You prolong God's creation in your work. Subduing the earth both with and for one another. Work honors the creator's gifts and the talents you received from him. It can also be redemptive, and I'll finish with this. Work can be salvific, saving, redemptive. By enduring the hardship of work, I have an easy job. Anyone have a real job out there? It's hard. There's a burden that we carry. There's a cross that we bear in our work. By enduring the hardship of work, in union with Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth, the one crucified on the burden of the cross, by doing so, by uniting yourselves to him, your works to him, my works to him, man collaborates, co-labor, work with the labor of Jesus, collaborates in a certain fashion with the Son of God in his saving work. He shows himself to be a disciple of Christ by carrying the cross daily in the work he is called to accomplish. Work can be a means of sanctification in a way of animating earthly realities with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, bringing heaven into your shoemaking, your typewriting, your journalism, your medical, whatever you're doing, all these things, you're bringing Christ into it. I'll leave it there, but just there's a lot for us to ponder, just skimming the surface, but unlike some false caricatures of communism or Marxism or socialism or today's society where, you know, you are your work and you are the value of a dollar. You are so much more than the value of a dollar. Whether you make one or like me, you don't make one. Your worth is so much more than that. And work is a means to you and to your end and to the end of your neighbor. But it has a value. And we ask the Holy Spirit just to remind us of what our Lord has taught us when he became not just any worker, but a lower class worker. To show us that even then he never lost his divine dignity and worth. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.